But just because you see that they're busy, you think they're making a lot of money, they may not be, because you don't have access to their books or the back of the house or know what is really going on there. So he said, just stick with what you know and do that really well instead of chasing everything.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really good story and moral.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to the Optimal Aging Podcast, where we discuss the business of exercise, healthy living, and well-being for people 50 and over. Each week, we explore what healthy living means for millions of people over age 50 and what's coming next, with a focus on communications, content, and making powerful connections.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Before we get to this week's guest, I want to say that I've just returned from my first vacation since well before the pandemic, a glorious week in sunny Palm Springs, California. I barely even looked at my laptop, my phone, or any TV at all. I read some books, ate a lot of good food, worked out a couple of times, and enjoyed two hikes in the desert. I'll share a little more about it in three things I like this week, a special post-vacation edition, so stick around for that. First, though, I want to introduce today's guest. Jim Adams is owner of Catalyst Strength and Functional Nutrition in St. Louis and the author of a brand new book, Masters in Fitness Business. It's a companion piece to his podcast of the same name, and I'm glad to report it's really good. Jim's a thoughtful interviewer, and he presents his guests in a warm light that's beneficial to the audience. Believe me, that's not as easy as it might seem in a podcast or in print. Jim also fills us in on a new venture for online learning in the fitness business that he started, and we even discuss books and authors a bit, something I love to do anytime. I know you'll enjoy it. Here's my conversation with Jim. Jim, hi, welcome. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Jay? It's good to see you again. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. I'm doing well. Thank you. It's nice to be reconnecting with everybody, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Both either through Zoom or in person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I hope to see everybody again soon at some of these events. I know there was one last week in, was it Tulsa? Did you go to that with Tim Lyons?
Oh, it was in Scottsdale. It was Tim Lyons Fit Summit. I wanted to, but it just... the timing didn't work out. I know a lot of people that went, but I just unfortunately couldn't make it.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw the pictures on Facebook and I thought, oh man, I don't know that would have been a good one for me to go to anyway, because, you know, I don't own a gym. I don't know if it would be pertinent to me, but it just...
Oh, absolutely. Kind of felt... all those gyms serve your content providers or content people.
Oh, it would be good for me. I just... Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But anyway, it was just cool to see pictures of people doing stuff like that again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like we were talking before we started recording, I think people are primed and ready. You know, I heard a couple of economy experts saying they're expecting like a second roaring 20s, you know, because people have been kind of capped for a long time and now they're primed and ready to get out, go out to eat, see people, go to the pool, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm glad you said that, because I have felt that, but I'm not an economist. I have no insight into anything like that. But it just feels like that, partly because I feel like that. I am ready to freaking go.
Right.
You know, I'm going on a vacation in a couple of days, first time since everything happened. And I'm going to plan some more trips this summer. And I've been out to some restaurants. And as soon as there's a concert, I'm going to go, even if I don't really like the band, just because you can, you know?
Right, exactly. To a barbecue, a pool party, something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, and all my women friends who haven't been able to get their hair done or dyed or, you know, whatever they wanted to do with as far as that, that's a lot of money that people have in their wallets that they haven't been spending. And right. I think they're itching to spend it, man. They want to go shopping, and they want to go.
Well,
to the gym.
Not only that, But they want, they're looking, like you said, for an experience.
Yeah.
They want the experience, the opposite of what they've been experiencing for the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've seen an uptick in my business as just in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. What we're right. We're the week before Memorial Day right now. Right. So, yeah. I guess the month of May, I've seen a good uptick in business, and it's, when I am doing well, it's because gyms are doing well. So I, if that's an indicator, I don't know. I hope so, yeah. Man.
I think so. I think as the, especially as the mask mandates relax,
yes.
I think people will start to come back to the gyms. I know we've seen an uptick, and several people I've talked to have experienced the same thing. It's kind of weird because summer is traditionally a slow time for signups in the fitness industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to be a busier summer than normal. And I think when the fall comes, I think we're going to see a huge uptick as long as nothing changes.
Yeah. Well, knock wood, right?
Exactly.
So I want to get back to business and running a gym and getting people back into it. But, you know, one of the things I really want to talk to you about is your book. And congratulations on publishing your book. It's very exciting. I received my copy last week. And like I told you before, I was surprised and really flattered that you included me in it. So thank you. It's called Masters in Fitness Business, Expert Interviews, Clear Action Plans, and Secrets to Grow Your Business by Jim Adams, with your smiling face on the cover. And it's nice. It's really good. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. It didn't really hit me till that I wrote a book until I saw it on Amazon. And I was like, holy crap, I published a book. Yeah. So it was good. I took the opportunity. I always wanted to do something like that. And I just took the opportunity during the shutdown. I wrote it between March and June of last year while everything was shut down.
Yeah.
And I hired a lady named Katie Cross to help me with it. And she was wonderful. We worked very well together. And I was really happy with the book. And I thought, you know, I wrote the book for the same reason. Well, for the same reason I started the podcast to scratch my own itch, because I was a trainer who had opened up a training studio and realized really quickly that I was a good trainer, but I was not a good business owner. So I needed to learn my business skills. I needed to up my business skills. So I sought out people that would help me do that. And one of the ways I did that was by interviewing them on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I soaked it up like a sponge. And what I found during the podcast is there's a lot of people in that same situation, the same situation I was in. So then it became a mission to, you know, help those independent operators raise their game up, go from being a great trainer to a great business owner, so that they could build the type of business and life that they want, you know, not, you know, that grind of a personal trainer, you know, where you're working, you know, 12 hours a day, some days, 6 days a week, mm-hmm. but where you could create the type of lifestyle from the business that you want, that, you know, fit pros want, where you're not, you know, creating a job for yourself, but creating a business that gives you the freedom to do the things that you want to do instead of creating a job that, you know, keeps you, you know, chained to it like a ball and chain.
Yeah, exactly. I'm familiar with that push-pull situation. So that's great inspiration for the book. And you were really smart to use your podcast as the mine, I guess, for that. So what was the process? You found this professional writer to help you with it. And like I told you before we started recording, I think it paid off. She did a nice job. It's very well done. You know, and I don't say that lightly. So good job.
Yeah. That was a high compliment coming from you. Yeah, and I was nervous when I asked you, but I wanted to know.
No, I was nervous when I got it, because I'll tell you what, people often send me books that they've written or projects that they've put together,
and they really want your opinion, but they don't really want your opinion. They want you to say good job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you can't. It's just like, oh boy, I can't. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but this was not good, you know? Uh-huh. So I really like the formatting of it, the way you grouped the subjects together. Well, each chapter is a different person, mm-hmm. and someone you've had on your podcast, and the chapter doesn't just spit back a transcript of the interview. It writes a little story about that person and mm-hmm. includes some quotes from the podcast, and then mm-hmm. at the end of each chapter is the URL for the podcast. And even smarter, there's a QR code that will take you right to it, which is really cool. So that was, I was very impressed by that. So tell me about the process of it, as far as how you found her, Katie, mm-hmm. and then how the two of you set about doing this, because you know, you had a bunch of podcast episodes. That's cool. But there's a lot of steps between that and a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many more than I anticipated. But I remember when I first got the idea to do the podcast, and I bounced the idea off of Frank Nash and Rick Mayo. And they said, yeah, go ahead and do it. But little did I know that Rick Mayo, I don't know if you read the intro that Rick Mayo wrote, mm-hmm. but he's like, oh, Jim's never going to start a podcast. But he didn't say that to me at the time. He's like, oh yeah, go ahead and do it. You'll kill it. You'll crush it. Right. And, but when I was starting the podcast, we were in Hawaii on our baby moon right before, my son, was born. And I had that book. I brought that book, Tools of Titans. Are you familiar with sure. Tim Ferriss's book, Tools of Titans?
Yep.
And I was reading that book, and I really liked it. And I said back then, before I even started the podcast, I could probably take some of those episodes, if I get some good episodes, and create like a Tools of Titans for the fitness industry. So that was kind of the inspiration of the book. And I wanted it to be something that you can use more like a reference manual than a book. So you can go, depending on, no matter where you are in your Fit Pro or Fit Biz journey, whether you're starting out and need to know how to, you know, create a business plan and a model and mm-hmm. who your demographic, all those things, to all the way up to multiple locations and franchise owners. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take it from, you know, it starts out with the greats, then it goes to subject matter experts, and that's where you fall in, because I mm-hmm. thought your podcast added a lot of value, because a lot of people don't even identify the demographic they're going after.
Right.
And then go on from there. So I wanted it to be like a Tools of Titans. And so that was the inspiration. And then I picked 20 episodes, because I've done 115 now. So I took 20 of my best episodes and decided to put them in the book. So I started writing them and realized really quickly that I wasn't a writer.
Yeah. How did you realize that? I want to know. What was the moment where you realized
that? Well, here's where it was. Okay. And it was a game changer moment, is when I, as I said before, I started recording, I didn't want it to be a transcript of the podcast, because that's like reading an encyclopedia.
Right.
So I wanted to, and I always know that storytelling is the most powerful form of communication that mankind has ever created. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to weave a story so that there could be some takeaways from it, you know, with, you know, morals and themes and things like that. So that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I was really struggling with. So I was interviewing one of my guests, Danielle Hayden, who does accounting for fitness businesses. Mm-hmm. And so she'd written a book, and she said, oh, I'll use Katie Cross and reach out to her. So I reached out to Katie Cross, and she was great. I was actually her last client, as I was telling you, because she writes fiction. She has this whole series of fiction books that she has written. And so she was doing the ghostwriting as a side gig until she can get her own writing up and off the ground. And so her writing business had grown, or her line of books had grown to the point where she was able to do that full time. So I was actually her last client. Otherwise I would recommend her to other people, but she was great to work with, and I had plenty of time to do it because we were shut down. So it was my sole focus, you know, because, you know, that's the other hard part about writing a book, is that carving out the time to do it and do the research and the edits and, you know, everything that goes into the book all the way up into the cover art, you know? So it was fortunate that I was happy that I took that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So that was the thinking behind it, the inspiration and how it all came together.
And so what is the plan for the book now? You mentioned, I believe, that you can get it on Amazon. Where else can people find it, get it? What are you going to do with it, et cetera?
Oh, so it's on Amazon, and I'm hoping to sell, you know, several copies. So at least where I can get it ranked in the top, you know, of the category for Amazon, at least okay. for the first month. Then other than that, it's, I think it's a great tool for gym owners and fit pros. I do. But I mean, if you're asking for me personally, I mean, I think it's just that. It's just an extension of the podcast and flows right into Fit University, which is, you know, another business that I launched that's an offshoot of the podcast. The same thing. What Fit University is a, think of it as an Amazon for the fitness business courses, is what I want it to be. So if you have a course, whether it be on selling membership, Eric Charles Russell's courses in there, on selling memberships in the fitness industry, because it's a specific niche. We have Justin Brown's, he calls it his Fitstagram. So it's an Instagram branding and marketing course that's mm-hmm. pretty extensive. We have one on coming in on writing a press release that so that you can use the local press as part of your marketing plan as well. Right. And that you can do that for a pretty low cost. And that comes from another podcast guest, Mickey Kennedy. So what I'm looking to do is just stock the university full of whatever courses you need to learn how to become a better fit biz owner. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a subscription. It's a subscription base. So you don't have to like pick and choose. For one price, you get it access to everything.
Okay. And is it available yet?
Yes, it's live. It's www.fituniversityonline.com. And we have 25 out 25 founding memberships, which is $97 a month. And then once those are out, we only have a handful left. And then once those are out, then it goes to $197. But if you think of $197 a month, to some people it might sound pretty high. But when you think of it, if you look at just Eric Russell's course alone, you're going to pay over $2,000 for that course by itself. So for $197 and to get access to all those courses is a great deal, especially if you have a fitness biz that's struggling and you need to learn business skills, then I want Fit University to be the place where you can do that.
Well, how are you able to do that and make it work financially if you're selling access to these high priced courses for very little money? How do you do that?
Very carefully. There's a formula, and we work out deals with the people providing content. Mm-hmm. And it's just based on membership. You know, we got to have members in order to make it go is the bottom line. But then we work out deals with the people providing content. And then that makes it work for them, makes it work for us so that we can make it work for anybody who wants to join.
Right. Okay.
We'll be right back after a short break. Hey, everybody wants to bring in more money and to save time, right? Well, our friends at Nomly are here to help you improve your gym's communications with clients and grow your business. Join more than 300 fitness coaches who are doing more business with less work. Nomly helps to systematize and simplify gym operations by centralizing member data and communications so gym owners can increase their customer lifetime value, improve staff efficiencies, and raise the bottom line. This centralized communications tool helps you in lots of ways. It helps you orchestrate referral programs at the push of a button, helps you hold clients accountable with built-in two-way texting, and it lets you rest assured that all your clients' messages are being handled properly. Schedule a free consultation today at Nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. That's Nomly, Nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. Back to the show.
I want to go back and ask you, before I forget, I want to ask you a couple other things about the book before we get too far afield. Okay. Shouldn't surprise you. I'm really interested in this, and I have plans to do one of my own. But
Good. I figured as much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's really inspirational. I want to point out what you said at the beginning, that you did this during the first couple of months of the pandemic, which was so smart because so many people were just knocked out, you know, and instead of just sitting on your ass and thinking, oh man, this sucks, what am I going to do now? You not only did what you could to keep your business going, and it's still going today, but you did something new and creative and different for you that now is going to advance your business goals. Super smart.
Thank you.
It's very inspiring that you did that. I'm impressed by how creative people were. And then I'm also disappointed by the people who just kind of took it. You know what I mean? Is that fair to say? Yeah. I don't want to be mean. Absolutely.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I call it the 10-year overnight success, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're kind of building, it's like that, the whole iceberg thing. You're working and grinding and building all of this stuff, and all of a sudden you put all of this work in, and all of a sudden it's listed on Amazon and it's released, and people are like, oh, when did he do that? Well, yeah. I've been doing it for, you know, the last year or so.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see the fruits of it. I want to ask you I don't know if you can tell me, but give me a couple of favorites from the book, if that's not putting you on the spot too much.
No, it's hard to, people always ask me the favorite episode. But there are more, I don't know that it's an episode, but I do definitely have favorite people that I really like, because I feel like everybody that's been on the show, I've really kind of built a rapport with, like with you. I mean, I feel like our relationship goes much further than just you being on my podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's kind of what I enjoy about it. Is building those relationships. So I remember people, I remember quotes. As far as like favorite chapters, if you've never been introduced to Thomas Plummer, check him out. Mm-hmm. you will not be disappointed, and you will be shocked.
Why shocked?
Well, I mean, because he's just so abrasive.
Oh, okay.
He can't be so abrasive, yeah. And I think a lot of people don't like, a lot of people are like, well, you know, everybody, when they first meet Tom, they're like, oh, you know, but if you haven't met him, definitely do that. But, you know, he's been around for 40 years. He's kind of the godfather of the fit biz, and he knows his stuff. I had some really good episodes with Rick Mayo. He's a funny guy and a very smart guy, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think throughout the book. Billy Hofacker, I always remember his quote, and he said, grow at the rate of cash. I'll never forget that. And I told him, I said, that should be the name of your book, Road the Rate of Cash.
Yeah.
And what he meant by that is that everybody wants to, like when he started his, he has three studios in Long Island, New York, might be two. But he said he started small and then just grew as the business grew. He didn't overextend himself. He didn't try to get too big, too fast. So he just grew at the rate of cash because he also had to simultaneously get himself out of debt. He was in a tremendous amount of debt when he started his club. So he had to be really frugal and smart with his finances. And he was able to not only get himself and his family out of debt, but he was able to, you know, add a second and a third club because he was willing to be patient and grow at the rate of cash, meaning cash that was coming into the business. Instead of trying to jump ahead, think who else.
That would be a good title.
Yeah.
The rate of cash.
Yeah.
The color of money. well, here, let me ask you a different approach. Then tell me something that didn't make the book that you took out because, you know, either there wasn't room or was potentially going to embarrass someone or you just thought it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, there were two really. One was one of my favorite episodes, but the guests wouldn't give me permission to put the book put his story in the book.
Okay.
Which I understand because it's a phenomenal story. I mean, it's something like, you know, it's like a Dateline episode. So that one was kind of disappointing. And the other one was this guy, Joel Capra. And I'll give him a shout out on this since he didn't make the book, is that he has a gym, 10,000 square foot gym down in Dothan, Alabama.
Okay.
And he talks about how he almost went out of business chasing everybody. And what he means by that is that, and Thomas Plummer was his business coach as well, is that he opened up a gym and it was more of like a functional training gym. With semi-private and large group training. Well, these CrossFit boxes opened up around him. And he looked at those CrossFit, and it was affecting his membership. His membership started to shrink, and he saw these CrossFit boxes, and he's like, well, I better get on this train. So he switched his business model to CrossFit. And the only problem is that he sucked at CrossFit. He wasn't good. He wasn't a CrossFit guy.
Yeah.
You know, so he almost went out of business. I mean, business went from bad to like almost out of business. It really tanked. And then so he had to go back to what he knew and who he was and rebuild the business pretty much from scratch. You know, and the lesson he took out of that is that just because people look like they're making money at, you know, a model or,
yeah,
you know, or some kind of gimmick, and I call it gimmick, like Orange Theory is a gimmick because they didn't really invent anything that they did. They just kind of packaged it, right? So but just because you see that they're busy, you think they're making a lot of money, they may not be because you don't have access to their books or the back of the house or know what is really going on there. So he said, just stick with what you know and do that really well instead of chasing everything.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really good story and moral, you know, good takeaway that you could take from that episode and from that chapter in the book. But
yeah,
and when it came right down to it, I was like, somebody's got to go. So, you know, somebody's got to get cut. So it was Joel.
And well, thank you for not cutting me. I appreciate that you didn't make me the guy who had to get cut.
No. I thought your episode was really good because a lot of people are totally unaware of that demographic.
Yeah.
Not only totally unaware, they don't even want, like he said, they don't even want to go to that demographic. And because of that, they have those horse blinders on. They're not aware of it. And so they're missing a tremendous opportunity at one of the most economically impactful demographics that we have, especially now coming out of COVID.
Yep. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why all you guys aren't chasing the over 50 market. If I were a gym owner, I'd be doing it all the time, and it's got me excited to do this business that I'm doing because it's going to happen whether you you know, whether each individual person listening to this makes money off it or not, it's going to happen because I'm telling you, the baby boomers are not going away. And in addition to that, we're not talking about just baby boomers anymore. Gen X is getting up in years too. Mm-hmm. And the things that happen to us at 50 are not unique to baby boomers. It's just who it happens to be that we're generally talking about right now. But right. You know, it's
I'm a Gen Xer and I'm 53. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. And I think that a lot of younger trainers will start out thinking, well, I just want to train people who want to be fit, meaning everybody, and they don't really dial in on their demographic mm-hmm. and then reverse engineer their branding, their services, service offerings, all of that stuff to fit their demographic. So I think a lot of younger trainers, in order to train that 50 and over demographic, are going to have to up their training skill yes. level, because they can't, you can't do Olympic lifts with 50-year-olds all day.
Yeah, but isn't it more interesting? If you said, okay, you know, you, and again, not a trainer, so maybe I shouldn't say, but if my choice was to train an endless supply of 25-year-old boys who want bigger muscles, okay, fine. I'm a trainer. I'm a knowledgeable, experienced person. I can give those boys bigger muscles, whatever. Or here's an endless supply of older people who have really interesting stories and perspectives and powerful motivation to mm-hmm. be able to get fit, to live their lives, and to continue being themselves for as long as possible. And they've got, what, how many more times money? It's not even close. Mm-hmm. They're going to give me a ton more money than the 25-year-old boys are. So,
absolutely.
I think it's mm-hmm. great. I really am glad that you told me about the guy that you cut. What was his name again?
Joel Capra.
Okay, I like Joel mm-hmm. Capra's story. I feel with him a lot. I think it's a common thing that entrepreneurs go through. I've gone through it. I was listening to a podcast today from Joe Polizzi, who's a big content marketing guru, talking about pick one thing. Like you, mm-hmm. you can't build. He's talking about content marketing as a business, not fitness. And his point was on this episode was that you can't build your content empire by trying to do everything all the time. Do one thing, do a podcast or do a blog or do videos, whatever, and then build up your expertise and your audience on that. And I needed to hear that because, you know, I've got my business, Prime Fit Content. I write a lot of stuff for my subscribers and I have the podcast. And I'm like, oh, I got to do video. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. And every once in a while, man, you just got to stop and say, no, I am not a video expert. I need that at some point, but not yet. I'm still focusing on my core stuff. And that sounds like that was his lesson as well.
Yeah, it goes in. I think it was Tim Ferriss. I'm not sure if it was. I think quotes get kind of given credit to the wrong person a lot.
Yeah.
But it said, the things you say no to also determine the things you can say yes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If I'm saying yes, I will do I will do TikTok. Let's learn all about TikTok. Well, who knows if TikTok will be here in 6 months? I mean, why? Mm-hmm. How many? We could name a half a dozen social media platforms that fell by the wayside.
And better yet, does your demographic
no
live on TikTok?
No.
So if your demographic doesn't live on TikTok, why do TikTok?
That's right.
You know, because that's what, again, I'm a big Tim Ferriss fan, especially early on. His podcast really motivated me. And he talks about, you know, especially like personal training studios or independent training studios. You don't need a tremendous lot of people. He talks about 1,000 raving fans. Mm-hmm. All you need is 1,000 raving fans. And if like in my instance, if I had 200 clients in my club paying, you know, the price point that we have, I would be thrilled. Business would be sweet, you know. So you don't have to go everywhere that everyone is. You need to, again, know your demographic and then go everywhere they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that then they feel like, oh, well, Jay's all over the place. He must be important. He must have something to say. He must have something to offer, because everywhere I go, I see Jay.
Yeah.
You know? So you just go on, you know where they're going, you know who you're going after, and you just focus on that little sliver of the market, and then you can capture it.
Yeah. Let's broaden a little bit, change topics just a little bit. I want to know how business has been for you since things have, I almost said returned to normal. Things have not returned to normal, but things are getting better. And so tell me what it's been like for you the last month or so.
Well, during COVID, we lost 40% of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a big, big hit. So that's the negative. The positive is that I got to trim some fat from the staffing and payroll standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that stayed, we became really close and really tight. It's like, you know, people that go through like a trauma together, you know, that those bonds are strong. So coming out of COVID, I feel like the team that we have at Catalyst is stronger than it's ever been. I mean, the trust level, the communication, everything is really, really good. And I one story that was coming out of COVID is when we were first able to open back up. And of course, everybody had to wear a mask and we had to do the temperature checks and everything. And if you had symptoms, you had to go get tested. Everybody knows that spiel. Well, my general manager came down with COVID and there was a client who got really upset, you know, so she was in the club without her. I saw a picture with her mask down. I said, well, she probably like had to, you know, take a drink or whatever. But she, you know, I'm working with her every day. She wears the mask. We wear the mask. And he became abusive. And he was a good client from a standpoint as he paid at our highest package. So he gave us a lot of money. It was over $600 a month is what he was paying us. But when he became abusive, I said, you know, we can't, that's unacceptable. And, you know, it doesn't seem like you're happy here. And maybe Catalyst isn't the gym for you after all. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would be happier going someplace else. And he said, are you voiding my contract? I said, yes, I am. You know, because I just, you know, and then the reaction that I got from my staff for that, you know, especially during COVID was amazing. You would think I'd given them the biggest bonus in the world, but I really did. I gave them the bonus of them knowing, hey, I got you. And even though times are tough financially, I'm not going to let some client step all over you just so we can have him pay us every month. It's not worth it. It's not the business that I want to run. And so that just created, you know, solidified that bond even more. Now, with that said, we found is that a lot of our old clients who canceled, we would reach out to them and say, hey, we're doing X, we're cleaning, we're wearing masks, you know, all of that. They wouldn't come back. So we had to go after people who were willing to come in. We found that tended to be a younger demographic. So we shifted our marketing focus a little bit to attract that younger demographic because they were a little bit more willing to come in and exercise with masks and everything like that. Now that the mask mandate and the vaccine seems like we're turning the corner on this thing, some of the old clients are starting to come back as well. But I want to, so now we have to decide if we want to keep our marketing the same or if we want to kind of venture back up into that demographic. We'll have to see what the numbers tell us.
I want to press you on that a little bit. Tell me what numbers are you looking at? Because if the older people are starting to come back, why wouldn't you just shift your marketing a little bit to go back to pursuing them more aggressively?
Well, because I don't know how willing, how comfortable they are. The older demographic, at least where we are, where Catalyst is, they aren't as comfortable coming out. We've had perfect example. So we had one client who has a heart condition, and he remained a client throughout COVID, training from home. We were Zoom training him. And he wound up getting COVID, recovered, got the vaccine, both shots. He's fully vaccinated. That was 3 months ago. Today, May 24th, was the first day he came back into the club.
Okay.
And stopped his Zoom workouts. So it just, it seems like it takes them a little bit longer to come in, at least where we are in St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger demographic. And when I say younger demographic, they're not much younger. I mean, we're talking, you know, 35, 45,
yeah,
in that range. But I think as, especially when the fall comes back around, we definitely will probably shift back to that older demographic.
What difference does it make for the older demographic, it being the fall or not? What will, just that more time will have passed, or is there something specific about the fall?
Well, typically when in St. Louis, when the weather starts to turn, people, like when it's summer, people want to be outside. They want to be out running, biking, hiking, swimming, all of those things. But then as the fall comes in and temperature starts to drop, they don't have a lot of those options go away.
Right.
So they're like, okay, well, let me go back to the gym. So usually we see, and the kids go back to school. So usually we see an uptick in memberships in the fall.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hey, are you a fitness professional trying to grow your business with people over 50? If you are, then you need to know how to communicate with them, how to market to them, and how to get them to know you, like you, and trust you with their fitness and their money. We're talking about the baby boomers and more. People who are a little older and a little younger are still in this demographic slice that I'm talking about. People who are older than the typical client or prospect that gyms and studios go for. They have more time, more money, and better motivation to become excellent long-term fitness clients for gyms, studios, and trainers. Prime Fit Content is the only content marketing company designed specifically to help you engage people in this group and to distinguish yourself from competitors in your community. It's effective, it's easy to use, and it's super affordable. Check it out at primefitcontent.com. That's prime, like prime of your life, fit content, primefitcontent.com. Back to the show.
Covers it, but do you want to talk some more about Fit University or anything else?
No, I mean, we can talk about Fit University. I mean, I would love to. I have to meet with a guy tomorrow online to kind of work out the structure, but I would love to see if there's any way that we get some of your content, work out a deal and get some of your content in there as well.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Like I said, I wanted to be the Amazon of the fitness business, you know, where anything you need to help improve your fitness business skills, it will be in the Fit University.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to checking that out. Yeah. So now that you're an author, I got to ask you some author type questions, Jim. Hope you're ready for this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ready? Okay. Rookie Arthur. Yeah.
I'll take authors for 400, Alex. Okay. So tell me what's your favorite. Give me a couple of favorite books of yours. You mentioned Tim Ferriss, so you can't go back to that well again. You got to give me something new.
Well, one that I'm reading right now, and I'm enjoying it much more than I thought, is The Greatest Salesman in the World.
Okay.
Have you ever read that?
No.
It with the scrolls, and you're supposed to live with the scrolls for 30 days.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I'm almost done, almost ready to go to scroll number 7 in that book. Another book that I recently read was Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. That was actually a really good book. If he wrote that book and didn't have a ghostwriter, he's a really good writer. I was really impressed with his writing. And then as far as, I like to read a lot of the classics, and I like to read a lot of history. So one of my favorite books, and I gift it to people all the time, and I don't think they ever read it. At least they don't get out of it what I got out of it. And that's The Prince by Machiavelli.
Sure.
And then I'm also currently reading The Forgotten Man. It's a retelling. It's a historical look back at the Great Depression and what caused it, what kind of what the culture and the times were like, things like that. And it's very interesting to revisit that, especially now, you know, because there's a lot of similarities, you know, because they were just coming off the Spanish flu pandemic and in the situations with the economy. And it's so funny that like a lot of the same political tricks that they were using when Hoover and FDR were running, they still use today, you know. Some of the same tactics, you know, they haven't changed much, you know. But so I tend to read a lot. So like favorite, I mean, I have so many books, and I feel like I tend to retain a lot of information. I know that book, Never Split the Difference by Chris, his name, he's a former FBI negotiator, and he wrote a book called Never Split the Difference about never lose another negotiation. Okay. And the takeaway that I got from that is that every decision that every human being makes has an emotion attached to it. So you, because you can have logic, but logic is what you use to rationalize your decision. Yeah. It's not necessarily what you use to make your decision. There's usually like some kind of emotion that you, that has to be triggered before you make a decision. And that's whether you're doing a hostage negotiation or buying a sweater.
Yeah. Or selling a gym membership, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do, is I tell stories to press people's, you know, I almost said press their emotions. That sounds manipulative, and I don't think it's that simple, but to trigger an emotional response that's genuine and authentic, and that will build a relationship for you, make people feel a certain way and associate that good feeling with you, the gym owner. That's just good storytelling, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Jim, the book, again, everybody, the Jim Adams book is Masters in Fitness Business. I'm going to urge you to check it out on Amazon.com, or if you get a chance to see Jim in person, if you're in the St. Louis area, or if you're going to be at conferences as things loosen up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, check that out for sure.
And if you want to check out Fit University, www.fituniversityonline.com. And if you have any content that you think would be helpful to independent fitness business owners, let me know. I'd love to see if we can work out an agreement that allows us to put in the university.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again, man. It's good to see you doing so well.
Yeah. Same to you, man. It's good to see you again. When I get down to Atlanta, then I'll have to... you'll be my second stop. Rick will probably be my first.
Yeah, I know. Rick is first on everybody's list, but I'm happy to be his number two, believe me. All right, man. Have a good day.
All right, you do the same.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Now it's time for Three Things I Like This Week, special holiday edition. Number one, the National Park Service. On vacation in California last week, I was fortunate to visit Joshua Tree National Park with a small group of friends. One of them was the proud owner of a pass to all the national parks in the country, and it had already paid for itself by saving him on entrance fees. The park was a wonder, of course, as are all of them that I've ever seen. And after the pandemic, now is a great time to get out there and see some of what our national parks have to offer. Learn more at nps.gov. That's NPS like National Park Service.gov. Number two, mid-century modern architecture. Continuing on my Palm Springs theme, I enjoyed learning about this design style by seeing a city full of spectacular homes and businesses. It reminded me of the Art Deco district of South Beach in Florida, and of a time in the not-so-distant past when cities had their own unique look and feel. What does your art town offer for architectural significance or interest? Get out there and enjoy it this summer. Number three, urban polling. I saw many over 50 hikers in California using these walking sticks as they made their way up and down a mountain. They look like ski poles, and they boost workouts, provide stability, and make the event more fun and even healthy. They're also super useful in more ordinary settings like your town's parks and trails. They're available from plenty of retailers, and you can learn more at urbanpolling.com. Join me next week when my guest will be Sumit Seth, co-founder of Nomly, a web-based solution that helps fitness professionals and studio owners deeply connect with their clients and support them in realizing their health goals. Nomly also happens to be the first sponsor of this podcast. And so I'm really excited to bring you the story of Nomly and how they can help you with your business. And also, Sumit is just a very smart, enterprising guy with a lot of good information to share. So join me next week for that. And until then, have a great week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Croft, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps us grow our audience. I also hope you'll share any comments you have with me in an email or on social media, including suggestions for people I should interview or topics I should cover. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at j@primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y @primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join us next time.